Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we would love to hear from you. Speak directly with you right now. The number is 844-322-2742. If you're hearing this program at any other time than 3 p.m. Central, you can still get your question to us by voicemail at the same number, and we'll be glad to discuss it as soon as possible on the Basic Gospel Live broadcast. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's time for Bob Christopher. So what time it is?
Well, it's time for some good news, and we all need good news in this world today. I'm just so sick and tired of all the bad news that's coming out almost every single day. This world that we're living in is just a mess. It's a chaotic mess. But in light of that, we have the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We do have hope. We do have a firm foundation of love, of grace, of peace, of mercy in Him. And so let's talk about Him. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. Well, when we do talk about Jesus Christ, when we do talk about God, there's a lot of people that are going to hear that name. They're going to hear the name of Jesus Christ. They're going to hear the name of God, and fear is going to strike a chord in their heart. They're going to respond to Him out of a sense of fear. They know they're in the wrong. They know they've missed the mark, and they would love to try to figure out what they need to do to get on the right side of God, to get into His good favor. Well, favor and righteousness is not something that you and I can earn. It is God's to give, and He gives it freely, and He gives it abundantly to us through faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the source of righteousness. Jesus Christ is the one who takes our sin upon Himself, who took our sin upon Himself, and in exchange He gives us His righteousness. Yeah. So this righteousness is a gift. Now, for many, it takes a long time to come to that truth. We think there's something that we have to do. We think there's something that we have to try. We think there's something that we need to put our hands to bring about that righteousness. Mm-hmm. God has His part. And most of it all is 99% of God's, but there's 1% that we need to do. And so we try to figure out what that is. And the Bible says, no, there's absolutely nothing that you can do to gain righteousness. No one, absolutely no one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law. Absolutely no one will come close to gaining righteousness through human effort. Man, you're going to miss the mark so far, it's just ridiculous. But we all try. We all try in some way, shape, or form to move us a little closer to that status of righteousness. Now, on today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you. How have you, through human effort, through obedience to rules and regulations, how have you tried to make yourself righteous in the sight of God, and how did it work for you? Were you like the people of Israel? And this is what Paul had to say about them in Romans chapter 10. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, and he's speaking about his Jewish brethren, is that they may be saved. So Paul's heart for his own people was that they would experience the same salvation that he has experienced by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. They want to be in right standing with God, but not according to knowledge. And here's what it says that they did: for being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God. So the prophets, the law, all of the Old Testament testifies to the fact that there is a righteousness that comes from God. It's apart from the law. It's apart from anything that we do. It is a gift. So they were ignorant of that fact. They were blinded to that fact. That truth had not been revealed to them. So being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. So they were ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God. That's what Paul says is revealed to us in the gospel message, in the message concerning Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. They were blind to that. You and I were blind to that until it was revealed to us, until God opened our eyes. So if we're blind to the righteousness that comes from God, if we're ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God, then there's only one thing that we can do. We establish our own measurements for righteousness. And we see that happening all over. We see all kinds of religions that have popped up, that have formed, and they have set a standard for righteousness. And they are looking for the people who adhere to those religious beliefs to live up to those standards of righteousness. So they're not submitting to the righteousness of God. They are trying to establish their own and live up to that.
Yeah.
We have within denomination after denomination after denomination, there are rules and regulations in all of those denominations. What are those rules and regulations? It's their standards for righteousness. So if you want to be a member of that particular denomination, then you have to abide by their standards. Mm-hmm. So if you don't abide, you have put yourself in a place where you might not be accepted by them any longer. They might excommunicate you. We see that happening. Well, what is it? Well, it's not resting in the righteousness that has come from God. It is choosing your own righteousness, your own standard for righteousness, to be the judging device, mm-hmm. the place of judgment. And so you're going to divide people based on whether they adhere to your standards or if they don't.
Yeah.
That's going to be a dividing line. So we have to come to grips with the fact that there's no way that we're going to be made righteous in the sight of God through obedience to the law. We have to come to the fact that there's no way that we can be made righteous in the sight of God through human effort. There's no way that our standards of righteousness can compare to his. So we have to come to grips with that. We have to recognize the truth of that. And when we do, that's when our eyes are going to be open to the righteousness that comes from God that is by faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, friends, I want to build a little bit on what Bob is saying with a question to start with. How can you know you are right with God? Well, sadly, the answer, as Bob was saying, is frequently sometimes that answer is hidden because we try to earn our good from our good works and deeds. But righteousness is not something we can earn, as Bob was saying. It's God's gift, and it's his gift to give. In a brand new series from Basic Gospel called Revealed, it will open your eyes to see and receive God's gift of righteousness. We want you to have a copy as our way of saying thank you for your support of Basic Gospel in the month of July. Just click donate when you visit basicgospel.net to make your gift revealed. You can start now to stand confidently in the truth that you are right with God through faith in the righteous one. Of course, that's Jesus Christ. We'll send you a copy to say thanks for making your gift at basicgospel.net. We would love to have your support and your partnership here at Basic Gospel. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. We have Mark Carlos watching us on our YouTube webcast, and we're certainly glad you are with us, Mark Carlos. And you have a question. You asked a question a couple of days ago, and you have a follow-up about backsliding or losing your salvation, and you're asking if we can look at Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45, and is this a statement by Jesus that you can lose your salvation? Well, here's what that passage reads. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through the waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I'll return to my house from which I came, and when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation. So what is Jesus saying there. We can remove the evil spirits, but removing the evil spirits does not equate to salvation. That does not mean a person is saved. Someone can cast out an evil spirit, but they're still dead spiritually. That evil spirit is gone. Well, it's going to go out into the air and that sort of thing, and it's going to come back around and say, hey, there's my dwelling place. Mm-hmm. It's still open. It's still available. And not only am I going to take up residence there, I'm going to ask some friends to come along with me.
Yeah.
And that's all Jesus is saying here. This isn't anything about salvation. We have to come to grips with the fact that salvation is really, as Major Ian Thomas said many, many years ago, it's not only being cleansed of our sins, it's not only being forgiven of our sins, it's actually God in the person of Christ Jesus stepping out of heaven and finding a home in us. So he has to cleanse us first before he can come and live inside of us. Well, when we believe the gospel, when we trust what Jesus Christ has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection, we receive that forgiveness that he provided for us through his shed blood. We are made holy because of that shed blood. We are also declared righteous. We are infused with the very righteousness of God. We are made alive together with Christ. We cross over from death to life. And then God sends his spirit to take up residence inside of us. So he's done a whole string of things in order that God's spirit could live in us. So a believer is someone who has the spirit of God living in him. If you don't have the spirit of God living in you, you don't belong to Christ. You're not a Christian. So a Christian is defined by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:9-11, as someone in whom the Spirit of God lives. Well, once the Spirit of God takes up residence in a person's life, that is a permanent, eternal residence. We have the promise of God in Hebrews chapter 13 that God's Spirit will never leave us nor forsake us. We have the promise that Jesus made in John chapter 10 that once we belong to him, we are in his hands and no one can snatch us out of his hands. We are in God the Father's hands and no one can snatch us out of his hands. So when we're saved eternally.
We're in good hands.
And to think that we can lose salvation or that we can walk away from what God has done diminishes the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. It diminishes the power of the resurrection. When that power of resurrection saves us, makes us alive together with Christ, raises us up to walk in the newness of life, releases us from the power of sin and death, that is an eternal reality. We are saved when we're saved, and we're saved completely, and we are saved forever.
Forever. Mark Olas, wonderful question, and thank you for posing it here at Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. We have an open line for you right now. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk to Craig, listening to us out in Lubbock, Texas. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Bob and Bob.
Hey there.
Appreciate your ministry.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for your call today.
Well, I have a question about in 1 John 3:6, and this kind of tails in, kind of dovetails into what you were just talking about, I think. But John was saying that no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. So let little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. And then it goes on pretty much to say the same thing on the opposite way further down.
Right.
So I'm just wondering the context of that particular scripture for us. Maybe someone who has a habitual sin, like, you know, smoking or something like that. How does that fit into their, you know, their understanding of their salvation?
Well, I think in this passage, Craig, we need to realize, and this is true of the entire letter of 1 John, that John uses contrast throughout this all five chapters. So we see the contrast of light and darkness. We see the contrast of lost and saved as expressed in fellowship. If we have fellowship with God, that means we're saved. If we don't have fellowship with God the Father or Jesus Christ the Son, it means that we're not saved. We see the contrast of love. If we abide in the love of God, and that's simply living in the love of God, then we're going to love our neighbor. We're going to love our brother. And if we say that we live in love and yet hate our brother, then the truth's not in us. So we see that contrast. We see the contrast of truth and error. So John uses this technique of using contrast to really tell the story. And here in chapter 3, he begins with, I think, some of the greatest verses in all the Word of God. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. And the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Talk about good news. Talk about hope. Man, that just is filled with hope. And here's the reason, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So when we are named children of God, born again into the family of God by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, we're changed. We're changed on the inside. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, and this hope purifies us. And so we begin to practice righteousness. We live out this righteousness that we have become in Christ Jesus. Now, he contrasts those to those who, everyone who makes a practice of sinning, of practicing lawlessness. Now, that's not a believer. That's an unbeliever. That's a lost person. And he's saying that those who have come to Christ, they're not going to practice sin. That's not their lifestyle. They're not ordering their entirety of who they are around sin and death. That's how they ordered their lives before they came to Christ. But now something happens. Something has happened. God has sent his Spirit to live inside of us. And so because that seed remains in us, then we're going to begin to practice this righteousness. We're going to order our lives around who we have become in Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is in us. So we're going to see righteousness as our lifestyle. Now, that's the contrast. So he's saying those who practice lawlessness, they're lost. Those who practice righteousness, they're saved. And the only reason we practice righteousness is because the righteous one is living in us, and our lives now are ordered around him. Everything that we are, who we are, our identity, everything about us is now tied to Jesus Christ, isn't it?
Yes, sir. That's a great explanation.
Okay, so that makes sense to you? It kind
Absolutely.
Of clears that up? Okay.
Yes, sir, perfectly.
Okay. Well, thanks, Craig. That's a great question, and I know this passage causes a lot of confusion for people because we think we can go back and forth. You know, there's sometimes we're going to practice lawlessness, other times we're going to practice righteousness, and it really confuses us, but John is really saying there's lost and they're saved. If you're in Christ, you are in Christ forever. His seed remains in you. Your life is now ordered around him. He is the source of your life. And since he is the source, since he is righteous, righteousness is going to be what you practice.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thanks, Craig.
I appreciate your explaining. Thanks.
You're more than welcome. You call anytime, okay?
Thanks, Craig.
Yes, sir, I will. Thank you.
Friends, your gifts to and through Basic Gospel carry significant impact. They mean that we can continue this broadcast and continue producing resources that help everyone walk by faith in Jesus Christ every day. And we think that's worth supporting. If you agree, if what you've heard on Basic Gospel has made a difference in your understanding of the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, well, we ask you to join with us with your support and help others hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ. You can make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net. And when you make that gift, we'll be sending you a copy of our new series called Revealed, 4 messages that will reveal that Christ in Him, you are right with God. We'll send you a copy to say thanks for your partnership. Again, you can make that donation now or anytime at basicgospel.net and help others walk by faith in Jesus every day.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have some follow-up questions to Mark Carlos's question about can we lose salvation. Robert has a question about a passage in Matthew chapter 7 where we see in there verses 21 through 23 where Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Will this ever happen to a believer in Christ? Will Jesus ever say to one of his children, someone who has gone from death to life through faith in Jesus, will Jesus ever say to someone like that, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? And the answer to that is a resounding no. He is going to welcome you into his kingdom. Why? Because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and will never be blotted out, because you have been sealed by the promised Holy Spirit, because you have become a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir of Jesus Christ. You have been made righteous. You have been justified. You have been glorified. When he appears in glory, you're going to appear with him forever. So who in the world is Jesus talking to in this Matthew chapter 7 passage? Well, he is talking to false prophets. That's who he's talking to. And these false prophets, they've gone out and they've done wonderful things in the name of Jesus. And their basis of salvation that they're going to offer to God, to Jesus Christ, and say, here's why we need to be with you, is their works, the things that they have done. Well, works just aren't going to cut it. There's no good work that we can bring to the table that Jesus is going to look at and scratch his head and say, wow, that grants you entry into my kingdom. No, the only work that is going to make a way for any of us is the work of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. So he looks at these who are trying to make a case for their salvation based upon their good works, and he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And then he uses the phrase, "You workers of iniquity." Yeah. Jesus Christ will never call one of his children, one of his very own, a worker of iniquity. Why? Because we are children of God, saints by calling, made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. So no, this isn't a passage about believers. It's about false prophets who are causing all kinds of confusion out there in the world.
Well, Robert, thank you for that follow-up question. Glad that you reached out. And friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. And if you have a Bible question and would like a scriptural guidance for it, or if you have a life issue you may be struggling with, well, you can leave a voicemail for us right now or anytime overnight at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to hear from you. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. Or you can post your on-air question under the radio tab at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for our study through the book, the study guide called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. If you don't yet have your copy of the study guide, you can order yours right now at the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace website, and that is a designated site, simplegospelsimplygrace.com, and you can order either the book or the study guide or both. We hope you'll join us tomorrow for that study, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.